It's Monday, and that means we need to check in with our friend Dick Weiss of WeissWright.com, also a longtime editor of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, retired from there, and now he's our media critic every Monday. Dick, welcome to the show.
Good to be back.
Hey, just on a, not that this has anything to do with the media, but this Centene story, is this a big story, or am I making too much out of this?
No, I think it's a big story. The thing that I think is really impressive is that for all of my years in St. Louis, it was Clayton sucking the business and the enterprise out of the city of St. Louis, and now it appears to have reversed.
Right. Right.
And St. Louis is getting, you know, what, 1,200 jobs?
Right,
and
1,200 new jobs.
New jobs,
right.
And it's developing, and it's got something for Ballpark Village. 1,200 people down there going into the businesses or in the ballpark, having lunch.
Right.
And so on has got to be huge.
So
I don't think you've overplayed it at all.
So to call this a historic announcement is not overestimating it,
time will tell. But it certainly strikes me as being very significant,
And
hopefully it will lead to more.
All right, is your former employer raising the price of a newspaper?
Yes, I was shocked as I was reading my. The corrections column, one of my favorite columns in the paper. just underneath that, it appears that the Post-Dispatch is correcting its price. And starting Monday, October 1st, the price of the Monday through Saturday Post-Dispatch will be going to 75 cents a day in stores, boxes, and newsstand locations. And the home delivery price will remain unchanged, and the Sunday price unchanged. The Sunday price is $1.50. And it's gone from 50 to 75 cents, and I can't do percentages, but my wife was nice enough to help me out with that.
That's
a 50% increase.
Yes, that would be a 50% increase.
50% increase, which is huge. But, of course, they haven't changed the price for many years. They didn't point this out. Usually they have a little story explaining why we're doing this and so on. This time, if they had one, I didn't see it. And, you know, it's been years since they did raise the price. What I also don't know is how many other newspapers around the country are now selling at 75 cents. I'll check and come back next week and let you know.
Well, I will tell you this, that the new 75 cents for the newspaper is still the greatest value known to man.
You know what? I think I mentioned this before, that what you get in a newspaper is essentially as much volume in a day as a paperback book, and you cannot get a paperback book for 75 cents.
Right. I mean, they bring the world to you. Now, whether you like what they say or you don't like what they say or whatever, the point is, you get a whole lot of information for 75 cents a day.
That's right.
And it's still the same price if you get it, if you subscribe to it.
Yeah, if you subscribe, and they've got all kinds of deals when you subscribe.
Yeah.
If you're not a subscriber, you get a great deal.
Yes.
It's a little like the cell phone.
But if you are a current subscriber, it's just not that good of a deal.
Well, I don't know. But you have to talk to them. I am a subscriber.
I like the guy who drops off my post dispatch, but he drops it off like right at 6 o'clock. And if he's 2 minutes late either side, you know, I'm out the door usually and long gone from there.
Yeah, so he's good. He's timely.
Well, I tried to call him to get him there at like 5 so I could leave and have the paper, but for whatever reason, he can only get there at 6.
Did you tell him who you were?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going to do that.
It'll be there at 8.
Sir, do you know who I am? Couldn't do it. All right. Now, last week you were on the show, and you told us all to get off the New York Times back because MoveOn.org didn't get any special deals for the General Petraeus ad. Yeah. Turns out they were wrong.
I would like to issue a personal apology to all our listeners out there. I took the New York Times word for it.
Once again.
They offered no special deal. And it turns out that the New York Times gave the MoveOn.org their deal for advertisers who don't specify what day the ad needs to run. And as it turned out, the people who gave MoveOn.org the ad said, we will run it on Monday.
So
because they wanted to be out there on a timely basis.
They wanted the specific day, September 10th. Mm-hmm. They bought September 10th, but they didn't get that rate. They got a better rate than the one they were actually should have gotten.
And the New York Times' public editor also said the New York Times violated its own policy because they say, we do not accept opinion advertisements that are attacks of a personal nature. and calling somebody general, making fun of their name and calling them general, betray us, you know, could be construed as an attack of a personal nature. So the public editor took him on for that as well. And what did the New York Times get for doing this violating their own standards?
They got $77,000 more.
Exactly. Isn't that great? They won't do that again.
But
now, we should explain that MoveOn paid the full rate.
Right, right. So, right. Yeah. They went to MoveOn.org, and MoveOn.org paid the full rate, what they were supposed to. But it calls into a bigger question, and that is when people say that they're in bed with some liberal groups, this just fosters their argument.
It really does. It's a it was terrible. The ad itself was terrible because it was a personal attack, or certainly could be construed that way. It was counterproductive in terms of what people on the left are trying to do and persuade Americans that the left is responsible and they don't engage in name-calling as the right has done with swift-voting carry and so on.
Right.
So,
the New York Times, this is even, it wasn't like they didn't see the ad. They saw the ad, and they still chose to run it. Then they come out and say, sorry, we shouldn't have run the ad. I don't think, it seems to me like it's an awful shoddy excuse here now that it's all said and done.
It is. The only thing people should also know is that this was a purely, of course, I'm taking the New York Times word for it again, purely an advertising department snafu. They don't talk to the news department about what ads they run and when they run them.
Right.
And so, in fact, there was somebody who writes a blog for the Times who went on to explain how that works and said, you may not believe this, but it's true. They don't check with us on what ads they run and when they run them and how much they charge for them.
The only thing you know is about the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Was there ever a time where somebody put some advertising pressure on you or you went to the advertising department and said something?
No. The only thing where that comes into play sometimes is when I was with the feature section, they will coordinate sometimes and they'll say, we're having a bunch of ads on cruises.
Right.
So it'd be great if we had a feature article that focused on cruises, and it sort of makes sense to do that. But generally speaking, it doesn't. We're not told to pitch stories one way or another.
Right. All right. Tell me about what does the pornification of the media mean?
Well, I was listening to Laura Ingraham, who is a talk show host, mm-hmm. Out there on the left coast, I believe.
Okay.
But she's on the right, and she has written a book called Power to the People, with a really original title, I would say. You know, actually, that one is kind of old. The big phrase now is throw people under the bus. Everybody's been thrown under the bus.
Actually, I thought the newest phrase was don't tase me, bro.
Don't tase me, bro. Right. Right. That will be. Yeah. But, you know, no wonder the UAW went on strike. They said they got so fed up with people getting thrown under the bus. They said, we're not going to make them anymore. But she's written a book called Power to the People and has a lot of, you know, the right wing agenda, generally speaking. But I found Laura Ingraham to be somebody who really discusses the issue. She looks a little bit like Ann Coulter, but she's...
Oh, she looks 10 times better than Ann Coulter.
Yeah. But she's blonde, and she's young, and she's beautiful.
I think Laura Ingraham's 10 times better looking.
And she can string the words together. And so I was listening to her on Howard Kurtz's Reliable Sources, and she's talking about something called the pornification of the media, which is when we talk about cultural issues, we tend to go towards the sexy stuff, the Paris Hilton and so on. And then even while you're decrying that we pay too much attention to Paris and Brittany and so forth, on television they're running the B-roll showing them in a state of undress.
Right.
So she's talking about this, not on, I guess maybe it was even with Howard Kurtz, but on another talk show, and she's asked specifically as she's talking to these people, about how terrible it is that we pay so much attention to this. You're not running the B-roll, are you, of this stuff? And the guy says, no. Well, she's on the phone. They are running the B-roll. And they apologized later for doing so. But I thought she made a great point that actually liberals, conservatives, everybody, you know, in the middle of the road can sign on to that there's too much of this stuff out there.
Right. And the mere fact that you're railing against it still means that you're talking about it and using it for your own benefit.
Exactly.
Yeah, good point. All right, we're short on time. What's the best story we've never read?
Well, I don't know. Have you ever read Bob Herbert? Have you heard of Bob Herbert?
I have heard of Bob Herbert. I think he is could be one of the – I don't understand him. Actually, I might understand him, but I usually fall asleep before I get to the end of the column.
He's a New York Times columnist. He's probably the one who is right the most often about – history will show he was right the most often. He was against the Iraq War. When the Iraqis voted in the elections, he said this is it's great that they did it, but it's not going to mean anything. The war's going to go on for many more years. He was for going into Afghanistan, so he's not even all that predictable. But this writer, T.A. Frank, in the Washington Monthly, analyzes Bob Herbert to a fare thee well. It's a very interesting, incisive column, and it's titled, Why is Bob Herbert Boring? So if you want to learn why Bob Herbert is boring and nobody reads him, go to my website, weisswright.com, and there's a link there, and it's a very interesting story if you're interested in column writing.
Dick Weiss, weisswright.com. Thanks. We'll check in with you next week.